strong. The crab were of good quality, primarily. The meat fill was excellent.
The return of the red crab fishery in Southeast Alaska, and a new name for a new Haines resident. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories coming up. Skagway Panthers volleyball team is going to the 1 and 2A state tournament this year. The girls just qualified by taking second place at regionals when they beat Hoona on their notorious home court. Longtime rivals Klawock took first, meaning Skagway will face them again in the state tournament that starts Thursday. Their first match is against Kenny Lake. KHNS will have more on the Panthers' shot at state later this week. Southeast commercial crabbers caught about 176,000 pounds of red king crab last month in a fishery worth nearly $1.9 million on the docks. That's according to a preliminary estimate from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Matt Lichtenstein has a look at the results from the region's first red crab harvest in 6 years.
54 permit holders fished the Southeast red crab season, which opened November 1st and lasted just under 2 weeks total. More than half of the boats were out of Petersburg, where Icicle Seafoods was one of the local buyers. Randy Lantine is Icicle's fleet manager.
We ended up buying some crab for the live market, and we ended up sectioning and freezing some also. The price was strong. The crab were of good quality, primarily. The meat fill was excellent on this crab. It was a good product.
It was the region's first red king crab season since 2005. The fishery had been closed until this year because the state's annual survey had regularly yielded low estimates of harvestable crab. Crabbers disagreed with those findings, and in 2009, Department of Fish and Game biologists and fishermen began a collaborative effort to ground truth the annual results with a new method. The approach, called mark and recapture, resulted in uniformly higher numbers for each area they checked. That led the department to adjust this year's assessment upwards enough to have a fishery, which was, of course, good news for the industry. Lantine appreciated the joint effort.
The guys went out and caught some crab, and they made some money in a time when normally we're not making money. So it was always a good thing to utilize a resource, and it's encouraging the department and industry to be able to team up and do these surveys to help make this season happen.
The season's catch of about 176,000 pounds was roughly 88% of the department's region-wide guideline harvest level and about 35,000 pounds less than the 2005 catch. The GHL was split up among four separate harvest areas. As in the past, crabbers called in their catches so the department could estimate how much had been caught and close each area accordingly. Area 11A near Juneau closed after one pre-scheduled day of fishing. And based on call-ins, the Pybus Bay, Gambier Bay, Round Rock area off southern Admiralty Island closed after 3 days. The Excursion Inlet St. James Bay area west of Juneau and the rest of the region, known as the non-surveyed area, stayed open for 13 days. The department's regional shellfish project leader, Joe Stratman, thinks it went well.
We had good cooperation for permit holders on call-ins, so we were getting the information we needed to manage for these harvest objectives in these four specific areas. 11A is a little different. It was a relatively small amount of crab we were targeting there, so we just had a pre-announced one-day season there. But the other three management areas, Pybus, Gambier, Round Rock, Excursion St. James, and the non-surveyed areas, were managed for those harvest objectives through the call-ins of logbook data, and so that worked out very well.
Stratman says they also had good cooperation from the processors who helped keep the department up on what they were buying. Fish and Game saw good catch rates in both 11A and the Pybus Gambier areas, according to Stratman. The fleet caught just under 10,000 pounds, or about 110% of the target in 11A. The Pybus Gambier Bay area catch was nearly 60,000 pounds, or 91% of the department's objective. Stratman says things were a little slower in the Excursion Inlet St. James Bay area west of Juneau, as well as the non-surveyed areas at first. He says catch rates improved in the non-surveyed areas as the season went on and the pots soaked longer, but that wasn't the case in Excursion.
We didn't really see that in the Excursion St. James area. We saw a catch rate of roughly 1.5 crab per pot. The five-year average for the Excursion St. James area the last five seasons that we've fished, the average catch per unit effort there was 3 crab a pot. So CPUE was down in the excursion inlet St. James area in comparison to a 5-year average. That CPUE did not seem to improve with a longer soak of the gear.
Ultimately, the excursion St. James area yielded about 13,000 pounds, which was just 45% of that target. But in the non-surveyed area, the fleet landed 96% of the goal with 93,000 pounds of crab. Southeast red crab was a lot more valuable this year, partly because much more of it went to the live market instead of being frozen. In fact, at an average approaching $11 per pound, the dock price was more than double that of 6 years ago when the fishery last opened. The crabs weighed an average of 8.4 pounds each this year, which is a little bigger than in 2005. That works out to nearly $100 a crab. According to Fish and Game, the entire catch was worth $1,870,000 to the fleet, which is over $700,000 above 2005's value. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
A former Kenai Peninsula resident has resurfaced in southeast Alaska to begin a new life after lengthy rehabilitation. He's a 1.5-year-old American bald eagle. Looks a lot like the other eagles from all over the country, but one big difference definitely makes him a Homer eagle.
Oh, hey, buddy. Good boy. Hey, Keen. It's okay, buddy.
That's right. The eagle's name is Keen, as in Jean Keen, who drew national attention for the hundreds of birds that showed up at her house for a daily feeding of an estimated 500 pounds of fish a day. Keen's a boy, but if the eagle were a girl, Ed says,
I probably would have named her Jean.
Ed Podgorski is on staff at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. They house birds that wouldn't survive in the wild and incorporate them in public presentations and raptor handler training. Keen is one of their most recent additions.
Dan's the raptor curator here, and he said that you, when we get to the next eagle, you can train it and you can name him. I'm like, okay, cool. So I had a couple of names running through my head. This is before I even knew where he came from. And I was kind of thinking, you know, some kind of Roman or Greek mythology name. And well, then we got his non-releasable form, and it said that he came to Bird TLC from Homer. So I was like, wow, Homer, there's a lot of, I could think of a lot of names associated with Homer. You know, I was thinking, oh, maybe Homer. And then I don't know, then just that night, it kind of came to me. I was like, how about something, you think of Homer, what do you think of? Eagles and Jean Keen, the eagle lady. Just, well, how about Keen? And I tell Dan the next day, he's like, wow, that's really cool. And Cheryl was there. Cheryl's our director of operations. And we were talking. She's like, wow, I'm getting goosebumps.
Keen joined the other 11 various birds at the center in October, just in time for the annual Bald Eagle Festival, when people come from all over the world to witness thousands of wild bald eagles gathering at the confluence of area rivers. Keen has his own mew, or eagle room, equipped with a webcam and is fed a regular diet of quail, rat, and fish parts.
As you can see, he's very calm. He's adapting quite well. He's had a rough start to life. He's got part of his wing missing. He just traveled from Anchorage to here, about 800 miles away, and he's doing good. He's adapting well.
Before arriving in Haines, Keen spent 5 months at Anchorage's Bird Treatment and Learning Center getting patched up after an accident.
Right wing is amputated from the wrist on down. We don't know exactly what, you know, we didn't get it from Bird TLC how he got injured, but what they said is when he came in to the center, it was hanging by a tendon, so he got into some trouble. So he was probably a year old, and a year old eagle is probably like a 2-year-old kid, and all, you know, terrible twos, getting in all kinds of trouble. They get into sticky situations. Anything for a free meal.
Podgorski is Keen's permanent handler and trainer. Ed joined the Haines group this spring after volunteering at the Alaska Wild Bird Rehab Center in Wasilla for 4 years and training at Minnesota Raptor Center.
And plus, my wife turned me into a bird nerd, so I got all kinds of bird books and biology and bird watching, bird anatomy, you know, you name it.
He loves eagles, just like Gene did.
I went there for, I think it was my third anniversary, wedding anniversary to Homer, because I have such an eagle fascination, and you just pull up to your car and there's 100 eagles out there. It's wow, you can't beat that. Yeah, you come to Haines and there's 2,000 to 4,000, but they're scattered out within, you know, a couple miles. These are right there, right? Got this lady throwing fish.
Keene's injuries include the loss of his primary flight feathers on his right side. He can't fly without them. Ed calls those feathers the engine. But the disability doesn't really stop him from trying.
He can get around here pretty good. He can, I would say, fly. He can pseudo fly from there to there, which that's one heck of a leap.
Keene's training just began and includes acclimating him to people and operant conditioning to comfortably reinforce good behavior. He wears cuffs and jesses so he can stay on the handler's glove, a skill he'll need for his career on the educator bird circuit.
Keene will be a program eagle. He'll be on the fist. You know, he'll go inside the museum. We'll take him to schools and fairs and all that good stuff. People do not see an eagle this close.
Not even in Homer so often these days, now that Gene isn't living, and there's a law against feeding predatory birds like bald eagles.
She passed away in 2009, January. Well, he's a year and a half old, so obviously he wasn't living when she was living. She didn't feed him, but I can almost guarantee you she probably threw some food to his parents.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.